Hi, I'm Mel Pearson from the Michigan Tech hockey team, and you're listening to the voice of the Huskies, Mix 93.
Go Huskies.
It's time now for the Mel Pearson Show on Huskies Radio, Mix 93 WKMJ.
Here come the Huskies with a shot. Score! Steven with the goal!
The Mel Pearson Show is brought to you by Bucko's Party Store in Calumet, the Turvo Agency in Hancock, the Library Restaurant and Brew Pub downtown Houghton, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images on the Michigan Tech Campus, Lake Accounting and America Group Retirement Strategy Centers in Houghton, Coca-Cola of Hancock, Superior Smiles in Hancock, the Wickley Agency in Hancock, Peterlin Distributing in Calumet, Dr. Daniel Reminga at the Northern Foot Care Center in Houghton, and State Farm agent Kelly Jepson in Houghton. And now, with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Mel Pearson, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
Well, we have sent Mel Pearson on assignment. He is not in today, but we've got a great fill-in today, and that is Joe Schaan, assistant coach for Michigan Tech. And we are looking forward to talking with Coach Schaan all hour here about Michigan Tech hockey after a big weekend of Huskies, Winter Carnival, and Ferris State University, the opponent. And Coach Schaan, it was a tough loss on Friday night, no doubt about that, but I thought a great comeback effort on Saturday night after a good effort on Friday night, but just finding a way to win, and not only win, but win by enough goals to get the McGinnis Cup.
Yeah, that got exciting on Saturday night. We got the empty netter. Leibs did a nice job. Chris Leibinger at the blue line winning a battle and breaking himself free. He's a gritty hockey player and was able to put it in the empty net. And then the thing was making sure the guys on the bench knew that, hey, listen, don't take your foot off the gas, because you can win a hockey game by a goal. If they come back and pull the goalie again and get a late one, you can win it by a, you know, win the game by a goal, win the game, and then go to a shootout, which would have been the tiebreaker for the McGinnis Cup. But we finished that off. It was a tremendous play by Mike Neville in the neutral zone to force a turnover, and Reed Sturles picked that up and picked the top glove hand corner on Capelmaster, and it was a great goal. And you know, it was fitting. That line was tremendous in that hockey game Saturday night with Neville and Sturles with Jake Jackson. They were great in the game.
They were, and Sturles named the MVP, well deserved. He had two really nice goals in that game, and that second one, that feed from Mike Neville down low, which we'll hear in a little while, but I think so many other players probably would have tried to shoot that one through the defenseman, and he was able to saucer that over the stick.
Yeah, it was a great play. You know, those guys, those two players in particular have in my opinion, since I've been here, have emulated everything that Michigan Tech hockey's about. They're great. They're great leaders in the locker room. They're quiet and lead by example, and they do everything that's asked of them on the ice. I mean, systematically, grit, everything, and they're having great senior years. But the first period Saturday night in particular, and I know we'll get to that, that line was dominant, scoring chance after scoring chance after scoring chance. I think they were the only line that had a scoring chance for us in that period, and they were on the ice for, I believe, both goals in the period, so they did an exceptional job for us, and they're going to be greatly missed. Neville and Sturles are going to be greatly missed, just because every highlight film on Monday is really a highlight film of those guys of setting the tempo for our team.
And you talk about how gritty both of them are, especially Mike Neville, and you look at his face-offs, and you know, he's 12-9 on Saturday night. I think it was much better even that on Friday night too, and how important those draws are to the success of this team as it goes forward here for the last couple of games of the regular season and in the playoffs.
Yeah, and they don't get power play time,
right?
Very little. Maybe, you know, Mel will play around with it every once in a while at different times, but they are on the penalty kill, and they create scoring chances on the penalty kill. Mm-hmm. You know, they make things happen. Sturles had two shorties a couple of weeks ago, so in one game, so they do it in a very quiet, workmanlike way. They don't look for accolades. They aren't trying to put themselves above anything. They aren't wondering why they're not getting more and more of different situations that might highlight them more. They just go about their business, and I know they have the respect of the staff. I know they have the respect of their teammates, and they're what we're about, and we need them to continue that.
Well, let's take a look at Friday's game first. We got down to a 2-0 deficit with Corey Mackin scoring the first goal of the game at the 2:19 mark of the first period.
Not get there. And the Huskies had it, lost it. Mayhew with it again, now looking, trying to find somebody open in front. Puck is taken away. He'll get it back. Mayhew sends it back to the defense. Shot taken wide of the net. Came right back out. And a pass to the goal on the backside there. And a Mackin with the tally on the backside as Redmond had no chance to get back. And the Huskies lost some coverage on that one.
Such a dangerous line out there. When anytime Corey Mackett is out there, and Van Warmer, and of course Mayhew, and three of those guys, or two of them factored in, Corey Mackin with his 10th of the season, Jared Van Warmer with the assist, and Cameron Clark from the point. But what happened on that one, Coach?
Missed coverage in front, absolute missed coverage. We fell asleep a little bit on our net front coverage, which we did. We missed coverages on all three goals on Friday night, and just individual assignments. It was a kind of a broken down play, and they were able to quickly turn it. Throw it at the net, and the guy was standing all alone back door, and we didn't recover quick enough to get on him. I think we get so content sometimes knowing that or feeling that we're going to win that battle in the corner, and because we're sending a swarm of guys after the puck, and when we lose that battle, often we get caught snoozing in front of the net. It happened a number of times this weekend, and that's what happened on that goal.
Because we did have a guy relatively close to him.
Right next to him, but not in good enough position to be able to tie him up when the battle was lost.
So it's 1-0 early on in the game. We still get so many chances in that first period. And I know it was frustrating for the coaches and the fans and everybody to not get something in that first period.
Yeah, well, you know a lot of what goes on. I don't know what the time slot's here and how much I can talk about things, but there's a dynamic into the games where and you can feel it a little bit where we've outplayed teams so I mean, if you're talking about chances and territorial advantage and those things, where we've outplayed teams and you can just sense that other coaches and other teams, they're telling their guys, just hang in there, they aren't going to get a lot of goals, just hang in there, and their goaltending's not as good as people are making it out to be, and that gets to be a little bit of an enigma even on our bench, where you're just pushing, and then the other team comes down and gets an easy goal of some capacity, whether it's a coverage, whatever it is. So that's a dynamic that's playing in a little bit right now.
So we're down 1-0. They get on the power play late in the first period, and actually a pretty nice shot by Jared Van Warmer that went off the top shelf. But again, as you mentioned, a breakdown in coverage.
You don't call it. Rutkowski has it. They set it up now. Bulldogs down the corner. Mayhew to the front, and they score. Mayhew to Van Warmer, and a brilliant pass and shot on a one-timer right in front off the top shelf it in.
And there was a guy right on Van Warmer right there, but he just got enough of that to flick that over the shoulder of Redmond.
Yeah, it was an incredible tip. He got it. It was an off angle. He was on his strong side. The pass came kind of out of the corner on a little cutback play where we had double coverage down low. We had isolated one-on-one coverage. Luch was on the guy in the slot. And again, he just wasn't tight enough on the guy. The Ferris player just reached out and on his forehand from the short side, tipped it right under the crossbar, right where the crossbar and the goalpost meet up top. And Angus, neither of those goals Angus had, they would have been incredible saves, spectacular highlight saves had he made the saves on the two that went in. We have to do a better job in front of our net.
Okay, so it's 2-0 after one. We outshoot them 14-6 in that first period. We go in the second period, get a big goal to get back in the game from Alex Smith.
On the man advantage this year, trying to get at least to a goal a game on the power play. Here's a chance, and it's goal!
Well, Gavin Gould, that was one of those draws where we did not win the draw. Gavin Gould, with a nice lift up of the stick, was able to get the puck and get possession down in the corner.
Yeah, and Gavin had a great weekend, right, start to finish. He did everything that we could ask of him on that play. It was a broken play on the power play, which you need to have, and a skilled player. And Gavin did what he did a number of times in the game. He lifted his stick, got it over to Smitty, and Smitty made a great shot on it. We needed that goal to get back in the game for sure.
It was. So Smith, that's his sixth of his freshman campaign. Gavin Gould and Joel Esperance get the assist. And Coach, how important was Joel Esperance's big body kind of plowing the way for Gavin on that loose puck after the draw win there?
Yeah, and actually the puck went off of Joel's skate, mm-hmm. and went off of Joel's skate. He was in there creating some time and space, and it bounced to Gavin, who was able to make the play. Joel was great in the first period, and Joel was great in probably about the first 6 minutes of the second period, dominant. I think he had six scoring chances in that time. He came out on fire in the game and that's all he had to show for it on the scoreboard, but he had a great start to Friday night's game.
All right, so we're down by one, and the feeling, I think, in the building, and I know with us, was that, okay, we're going to come really start getting the momentum in our favor. And we're not able to tie it up. And then they get that late second period goal, 18:09. Tyler Andrew able to put it in